Okay, well, I was asked to speak about future solar neutrino physics, and during these days it turned out that at some point there was some discussion if θ12 can be better measured in the near future, or what is going to happen with this measure. So there were many talks during the whole week, so I thought that it was interesting to do a lighter talk in between two heavier talks on many parameters. So this is going to be a kind of simple thing. We are going to discuss very few parameters. And I will start just, giving my short overview of what has been happening on solar neutrinos in these years of measurements. Then I think that we have to wait at least 1 year or maybe 2 years just to see that these extraordinary experiments that have shown us that there are oscillations coming from the neutrinos, electron neutrinos coming from the sun, and this is consistent with the Kalman signal, that that's right. And people is working on what is the next step in solar neutrino physics. Sorry. Okay, so we have to start with this famous slice. In this case, it's just, you know, neutrino flux, logarithmic scale, neutrino energy. We are the thing that you are going to see that has been measured is in different experiments is the different ranges. And the important thing just to remember here, or I want to remind, is that the PP neutrinos have a well-known flux because of the luminosity constraint on the relation. While the boron neutrinos, the uncertainty is quite large because nuclear factors and details on the behavior inside the sun. And also, I want to show that the beryllium has this large uncertainty. So here starts how I'm going to show what is for me, or has been for me, these last few years, solar neutrinos. It started with people in 96, 97. They thought that Super K was going to show some smoking gun that neutrinos, solar neutrinos, there were oscillations. There are oscillations in solar neutrinos. And they found in Kamiokande initially, and then in Super K, these nice peaks, solar neutrinos were coming from the sun. They found this this flux too low compared with the standard model prediction. They were looking at temporal dependencies. They found consistency with 1/r². They found that the day-night, the difference between day and night, and the dependence in different trajectories, integrated trajectories crossing the Earth, is quite consistent with no effect or very small effect. And although initially there was some tilt in the spectrum, then the spectrum has been shown as flat. And this is the simple equation just to illustrate that they are measuring electron neutrinos plus, if there is conversion to mu and tau, also some small contribution. Typically, this ratio is 1/6, around 1/6. So they are measuring not only the survival probability integrated over the detector response, but also some small contribution. Well, this was the first step. I started on this game with this film. It was really nice. But then it came a new experiment, a new measurement. It's known Charles Karen. And they saw in the first step some spectrum that was consistent with flat, less precise, but because of the less statistics. But I don't know if it was a surprise, but for many people that did not believe before in solar neutrino oscillations, this was a hint that something is happening, and it was simply illustrated by the fact that they are measuring this thing and the difference between the electron scattering measure in Super K and the charge current measure and the snow is different because maybe there is some variance of mu or tau neutrinos. But then snow again came back, and they told us that it's not only that. If not, this morning Karsten explained us that also the neutral carrying is telling us that it's consistent with this first indication of electron scattering and charge current, and that in this case what they were measuring is that thing. And then everything was nice, and we saw how this well was some extraordinary achievement by the experiments, by the experimentalists in the last years. Okay, but I came to this game quite late, but at the right moment. And but before that, I checked that there were some films before, so I went to the first one. And well, they were working very hard, so I think that it's important just to remind that they were working for a lot of times. And also, there were another that they're working also very hard. And here I'm showing Galex and Sage, and this is the present measurement. And well, with all of this is also some standard transparency or slice that is shown, where what we see is that the standard solar model, the neutrinos coming from the standard solar model, without oscillations, they cannot explain what is happening. And then this was quite hard. It took a lot of years. But the most important thing is that from this, what has been clearly tested is just 0.01% of the total neutrino flux. That is what has been tested by this electron scattering, charge carrying, and neutral carrying experiment, the boron neutrinos. Well, initially one could have, what is the next title? We were waiting for that. But it came out that maybe is that we have to change the sequence, and we have to go to Terminator. And then it came out Kamlan. And Kamlan, they were really lucky. And well, that's right, they have to check that, well, this indication of oscillations is right. Let's see what happens with the time. But using their data and combined with the previous data, well, this is the analysis that also you can go and compare with many other analyses that went out. Someone's with a very interesting HPH number. Okay, well, what is shown essentially is that LMA is the solution to all this, to explain all this experimental data. Assuming the standard solar model fluxes, in some analysis, one of the fluxes, the boron flux, is assumed free. And this is the ratio between the boron flux that you get from the analysis of the data and the boron flux from the standard solar model. So that is telling you that, well, it's amazingly exactly what is getting from the model, with some, well, quite good precision, better than the theoretical precision. And also in the analysis, in our case, we included just to see what is happening with this possibility of sterile neutrinos. Well, sorry. And well. What we found is that stellar neutrinos start to be very, very constrained by solar neutrino data. Well, this is the standard delta m squared, tangent squared theta, and this is the confidence level of the contours. I'm going to play with this region, in particular with the 1 sigma region for 2 parameters. And that means that in the near future, if this improves, what I'm going to say, because I need to start to speak about future, you need the starting point, you need the initial conditions. So my initial conditions is that everything was okay. Everything was okay. And then that the region is going to be around here. Okay, so just this is to illustrate that with solar neutrinos for the same region of parameters we're measuring or we're trying to identify is this region. This survival probability. Well, Kamlan was trying to look at a quite different survival probability for the same parameters. So that's the reason why, with so few data, they can say quite a lot of things. Well, another interesting thing that happened during these days, it was in particular yesterday, there was some comment about what is happening with the reactors. Maybe, at least it seemed to me that it was claimed that maybe there are some problems with the reactors and that maybe they are cheating or they are hiding something. So I just want to show with this some short indication of Japanese. So if you know what that means, you don't need the next slides. So the first thing is that those are the main reactors that are contributing to the Kamlan detector. And here are listed as in order of more important in the number of events. If you go to some public web page, so everybody can go and check every, I guess that is 8 hours, and you know enough Japanese, then you notice that this is this reactor, this side. And you check trivially from here that one of them is down and the other is in maintenance, and only one is operative. So only one of 7 is working. On the other hand, here we need Japanese just to know what reactor we are speaking about, and then one is working of 4. Here 2 of 6, and here 0 of 4. But the others are working, and are working properly at 100% of what they can or they have scheduled. Okay, so if we look at the same table, we can see that in black, those reactors that have problems, here we are losing 6 over 7, so we are in principle we should have 50 events. Here we have 1 over 4, so 20. So here, it's 40 and 40. So if you make the counts, at the end, it comes out that the people from Kamlan, in this case, Karsten, said that they are losing 40% of the number of events. And that's not a problem because they know. So it's they know what is going to happen. So this is something public. So if somebody is interested to know what is going to happen, so just has to be eight hours checking what the reactors are saying in the different places. The last thing is that if you learn enough Japanese, then you should know what is this place. Okay, fortunately, the Japanese government of problem, they cannot stop solar neutrinos. And now this is my real talk, is that what I want to address, or at least discuss a bit, is we didn't find real oscillatory signal. We need to check that there are matter effects in solar neutrinos. And we need to see if we can improve the theta-1-2determination. Moreover, now it started a new game that is, well, now LMA is confirmed, so we have to see if something more is hidden in solar neutrinos. In particular, I will discuss this case, but on the literature you can find, I'm sure, a lot of possibilities. Discussion on other things to add to LMA, to bound parameters or neutrino parameters. The important thing just to show here is that, well, a lot of neutrinos, we don't know we know on average what is happening to them. We measure on, having measured on home state, on chlorine, and has been measured on chlorine and on gallium, what is happening on average. But we don't know if what we expect from the standard solar model predictions now with LMA, then we get what is expected. And also, now it starts a very interesting thing, is that for the first time, we are going to make predictions that has to be tested for solar neutrinos. And it's not if that possibility. Now, the next experiment should measure some quantity if everything was well understood, or is well understood. Okay, so that's the most simple part that can be shown. And this is, you have to compare with previous talk on next talk, where a lot of parameters have to be discussed. Here, things are very simple. When matter effects are very important, this means when energy is large enough, for the, this is for the best fit point, then the survival probability is really simple, because the electron neutrino exists in one of the mass eigen state, and then we only have to do some projection. So life is really simple. And this is for larger energies. That means this is quite a good approximation, at least to follow the discussion, for electron scattering, also for boron neutrinos. Well, when we are in lower energies, matter effects are almost negligible. And then what we have is average oscillations. And we only have to plug here the projections of flavor on mass eigenstates. So life is really simple. The only thing I want to add is that in this picture, usually we are assuming theta 130. So in the numbers that I'm going to discuss, the only thing that one have to remember is that this should be multiplied by the cosine to the fourth of theta 130. So that means that if somebody is telling me that the measurement of this thing is 1/3, is not sine squared theta, is, well, this is can be at most 0.95 at 1 sigma, and 0.9 and at 90% confidence level. So, well, it's quite some number that you have to include, or at least to take into account. Okay, so to make things simple, what I did is the following. The allowed region that we discussed before, this delta M squared and mixing allowed region, so it's very easy from this range of parameters for this allowed region just to compute the survival probability of the neutrinos, of the electron neutrinos coming from the sun. And things are very simple, because the only thing that one has to do is, because we don't know mixing, theta 1/2, the only thing that it changes is where is sine squared theta and where is 1 minus 1/2 sine squared 2 theta. So this is simple. And then, because delta M squared is not precise, or is known some precision, then we have some uncertainty here, and also where this is finished, because the approximation sine squared theta also depends a bit on where delta M squared is. So for the discussion that we need, that means future, we need just to follow that this is survival probability of electron neutrinos versus energy, and this is the allowed region we are going to discuss. And this is now, I don't know what happens with that, but this is now the 1 sigma region, if we believe on everything that we use. Maybe in 2-3 years, this is the 2.2 sigma, the 1.3 sigma, or something happened and one of the experiments is modifying the numbers. Okay, first thing for future is the following. The bad thing of that we found with Kamlan is that now it's harder and harder to measure day-night asymmetry. Day-night asymmetry comes because instead of this simple formula of sine squared theta, that is the projection of the mass eigenstate on the electron flavor eigenstate, then we have to include that during the night, they also cross the Earth. And the formula is very simple. This is almost zero in the LMA, so this is an adiabatic transition. This is close to minus one. And because we are in a regime where matter dominates on the sun, and this is a term that is very easy to compute for constant mass density, and is proportional to the energy and inversely proportional to delta M squared. So that means that when delta M squared is larger, and this is what happened, Kamlan, with the new data of Kamlan, move is that the best fit point from 5 × 10⁻⁵ to 7 × 10⁻⁵. What is happening is that now this is starting to be harder. The number should be more or less the central value should be around here, because it's the maximum of detection once you include the response function, and those are the numbers. Where this is the central value, and this is the uncertainty that comes because we don't know delta M squared and mixing. So this is not this has nothing to do with the measurement. So this is just because we don't know delta M squared and mixing. To the experimentalist, I can tell that I expect the value between one in the range 1.9 plus minus 0.4. So this is, if we don't improve delta M squared mixing, this number does not improve. Well, I don't know why this happens, but okay. So that means that people that is thinking in megaton detectors, well, they can have some 5 sigma signal, although it's hard. For snow, one very hard thing is that it's going to be very difficult to find, because their uncertainty is quite difficult to reach this level, at the level of 3%. So unless they find something incredibly good, they are working a lot of years, it's very hard that they can find with enough significance the Dynite effect. That will be a clear signature of matter effects, of course. Well, the other part where we have to look at is on a low energy experiments. And essentially, what we can what is going on, so is something that hopefully we will see in a few years, is that Borexino and Kamlan phase 2, they are going to measure Berylian neutrinos through the electron scattering channel. People have been working a lot on the charge carrying experiments, but for the moment, no experiment is at least in the phase of moving ahead. So they are studying R&D and trying to solve problems that they have to understand on for this channel. Well, the idea is that you have to single out with beryllium neutrinos or from the background. This is for some study with a prototype from Borexino in this case. And well, I'm not an expert on the experimental part, so what I can do is that from the allowed regions, what the experimentalist or what Borexino or Kamlan phase 2 has to do to improve what we know. On the neutrino parameters, what one finds is that this is 0.6364 that comes from survival probability, but we have to add electron scattering. Here is the line 0.86 of Borexino, so you can figure out the uncertainty for this from this range. But the uncertainty has here two things, is that two facts. Before I didn't mention that when one is measuring the theta 1 2, larger energy is much better, because survival probability depends on sine squared theta. Lower energy has a disadvantage, that the survival probability depends on 1 minus 1 half sine squared 2 theta. So the uncertainty on theta affects more or changes more sine squared theta than 1 minus 1 half sine squared 2 theta. So this is one effect, sorry. And the other is that electron scattering has some kind of compensation. This means when you have some uncertainty on the contribution for electron neutrinos, the other part is 1 minus PE. So if you have some uncertainty, the lower part has more contribution of neutral or mu and tau than the upper limit. So at the end, it results that the number that one gets is 0.02. So it's challenging for beryllium electron scattering experiments that if they want to improve mixing, they have to do really well at the level of 3%. Normally, this is the uncertainty coming from the delta M squared and mixing the region, and this is, I'm speaking about always one sigma, and this is the uncertainty from the standard solar model. So apart on top of that, they should have some measurement of charge carrying they want to avoid this uncertainty. Well, this is on the beryllium part of studying the beryllium neutrinos. There is one interesting thing here, is that the experiment is going to concentrate on beryllium neutrinos, but they can also look at boron neutrinos. And it was a disadvantage that delta M squared is larger. because now beryllium neutrinos almost are in the vacuum regime, vacuum average regime. On the other hand, if one looks to boron neutrinos, and they are looking to measure boron neutrinos start to have some tilt. So maybe this indication of tilt and Waldaud hard is a way of working for Borexino and Camlan too, if they can measure boron neutrinos within taking out the background. Okay, respect to back. Now it's lost. Okay. Respect to PP neutrinos, no experiment is going on. A lot of RRD and tests are going on. In particular, they have to see if they can reduce the background to single out PP neutrinos, beryllium neutrinos. And, well, the different groups are working on, and some of the names of the experiments were shown before. Here, PP neutrinos have one advantage. The flux is well known, or is known and with wind precision at 1%. On the other hand, we are in the same situation. The uncertainty coming from delta M squared and mixing is 0.02. So it's going to be a kind of challenging, but interesting, just to see if PP neutrinos through electron scattering they can improve theta 1.2. But now let's move on this problem and let's ask the question. Well, that's really good. These experiments should be done because now we have a very good prediction. Independently on how good or how bad we don't know delta M squared and mixing, we can go and say you should measure that 0.17. You should measure in beryllium electron scattering 0.64. Just to, because there were some groups studying charge current, it seems that they now understood how to do beryllium neutrinos in charge current, but not PP, so they are working on that. Well, is all the particle physics done with solar neutrinos? I just want to illustrate with one example that some tests can be done. And in near future, with better Camlan and electron scattering, charge current, and neutral current measurements from SNOW and Super K, some tests on non-standard interactions can be done. If we include as an extension, okay, good, thank you. If we include as an extension, just neutral currents, not three-level charge current, then we are going to have some effects on the survival probability, but most importantly, on the cross sections. The neutral current is going to be affected by some combined different non-standard interactions, and also, as it's well known, the electron scattering. We did some analysis with some prospect of what is expected from Camlan and neutral current, charge current, and electron scattering. And it turns out that the epsilons with neutrino tau that are the ones that are less known are going to be much better measured or bounded by solar neutrinos and Camlan than neutrino factory or whatever thing that we can imagine in this moment. And the reason is because we don't have a clear source from tau neutrinos in other experiments. So this is a good test, yeah? This is a four Fermi operator, that is neutrino tau with some fermions, maybe electron-electron, quark-quark, sorry. No, here is no difference, because this comes essentially from, this is the pure element that you have on the Lagrangian, because this comes from cross-section. You don't have to make differences in the survival probability. This is not an effective epsilon or epsilon prime, no. It's the epsilon that you'd have to put on the cross-section, because your cross-sections are modified. Okay, this analysis has been also or a parallel thing on beryllium neutrinos, just to check how this is going, and but it has not been done in PP electron scattering. Well, I try to speak about particle physics, but there are a lot of implications of interest things for astrophysics now that the oscillatory part it seems that it's better understood. And one is that, well, this is a kind of one possibility. There are many others. First is measure the different fluxes. But in this case is that, well, using that now with Kamblang and with Snow Super K, we understood where we are in LMA, then we can check, well, what is the contribution of CN of neutrinos to this, in this, coming from the sun. This is something that was illustrated in one paper years ago, that in a SMA type solution, you could have a very, very large CNO. But from the standard solar model, we know that the CNO luminosity should be around here. What we did is just to use, to analyze with the fluxes free, all the fluxes were included free, were analyzed free. In fact, we used some kind of priors just not to spread everything out. And what we found is that, well, due to that we are in LMA, we have some bound on the luminosity of CNO. So it is the first confirmation, or it's a experiment, it's from data, it's an experimental confirmation that the sun shines by the PP cycle. And well, this is the number. And let me conclude. I think that I'm on time. Well, from my point of view, I think that the first thing is we have to wait 1 year, a couple of years, just to see that that's right, LMA is confirmed, and okay, 2002 is now 2003 and 4 with better statistics. But something is left, that this is some signal of oscillations. I try to point out that some of these things may come from solar neutrinos. Previous talk and next talk, they depend on theta 1 3. All the indication is to measure theta 1 3. Theta 1 3 turns out that is really, really small, so to prove oscillations is not going to be so simple. To prove matter effects is not going to be so simple. So maybe this is a kind of indication or a way that we can prove this experimentally. Theta 1 2 is going to be a challenge. It's going to be challenging for experimentalists, but well, we have to see if they can reach the numbers that I discussed. And the experiments that are going to measure in the near future the beryllium line, they can make tests of non-standard interactions. Last comment is that this is going to be a good time for astrophysics of neutrinos also, just to check that the standard solar model is well understood or is okay. And well, I'm sure that when the first neutrino experiment started, nobody thought that this was going like that. I'm not saying that we are in the same situation, but a lot of neutrinos are there, so it's good to check it. This last comment is that, by the way, solar neutrinos, in particular these low energy experiments, always go or are going on with other kind of experiments, dark matter searches or less neutrino double beta decay or things like that. Thank you. Sorry?
The chlorine data is lower than the LMA bit.
Is no, it's 0.33, right? So, well, maybe it's going to be lower by 1 to sigma. If well, we have to see, well, it's going to be checked, because if the beryllium line is measured, then to chlorine, the most important contribution is boron neutrinos and beryllium neutrinos. If you fix both these two, the only thing that is left is CNO. CNO, if following the numbers, we found that it's really a small contribution. So it's going to be checked. And by the way, but with present, if the things are going on as we expect from here, chlorine is 1 or 2 sigma below, not more. So, well, it was not so bad. In fact, it was really good.
And you're able to exclude CNO, limit CNO because of the spectral shape?
Okay, for measure, improve this bound, as we discussed in the paper,
your bound comes from looking at the spectral shape?
No, comes for total rays. The only information that we have are low energies. So this bound comes because you understand boron neutrinos. So if you go to chlorine, then you know boron neutrinos, the only thing that is left is beryllium neutrinos and CNO. Okay, so this is something that you have free, beryllium and CNO. Then you go to to gallium experiments, and you have the same gain. Boron neutrinos are well known, and then we have beryllium, CNO, and PP. PP are well known, and the important thing is now the survival probability is well known. So you just have to run the different fluxes, and you find that allowing the freedom, CNO cannot be very large. And cannot be very large because beryllium can play, but CNO at some point it's too much in this chlorine experiment. Yeah.
I wanted to add a comment on CNO neutrinos.
Yeah.
Because in a way it checks one of the most important assumptions of the standard model, which is that initially the sun was highly convective and therefore good. You can actually go into the core and measure those metal from the CNO cycle, neutrino production. They're very tiny. It's also important dynamically in the sun because there's an interesting prediction that the solar model was highly convective.
Okay.